This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. It's 60s Music Week on Fresh Air, from the Brill-Building songwriters to the psychedelic bands. Today, the British Invasion. Ray Davies was the lead singer and songwriter of The Kinks, one of the English bands that crossed the ocean after the success of The Beatles. The Kinks have been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Their early hits included such driven songs as You Really Got Me, All Day and All of the Night, and Tired of Waiting for You, songs that later influenced the new wave bands of the next generation. After those early records, Davies started writing songs that were social satires of the time, like Well-Respected Man and Dedicated Follower of Fashion. Ray Davies performs solo now. I spoke with him in 1995, after the publication of his autobiography. The first hit that you had was with your song, You Really Got Me. And you write in your book that this was considered too risky to record. What were the problems?
Well, it was... it wasn't... I suppose wholesome enough to be, for the time, something that would be palatable for radio. And now it sounds really innocent, and people say, "Well, what's wrong with the lyric?" But for then, you've got to understand, you know, it's a time when people still, although the Beatles were supposed to be a rough and ready outfit, and the Rolling Stones were, there was still an element of polish about what everybody did. And the Kinks were a rough and ready outfit. There's no question about it. And so the record company eventually relented and let us record it and to get our character. And that record really epitomises a lot of the way we feel that the fuzzy, raw sound that Dave worked so hard to get is really the way the band sounded. And that's, I think, why it was a success.
Well, it's such a great record. Why don't we hear it? And this is the Kinks' You Really Got Me. Thinking about when you wrote this song?
Not a lot, really.
How did the line come to you?
I'd written a song a few years, as I said, I tried to write instrumental phrases, and I'd been writing those a few years earlier, and there was this repetitive phrase, and going into strange accents and things. And I just probably sat there, we just had dinner at home. I went into the front room of the parlour where we had the piano, the little upright piano, and I started thumping this idea I'd thought of a few years earlier. And the words just came out. I think the subconscious was composing. It was not thought out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the trick. Just the words evolved with the notes and they match. And looking at the lyric, if I'd brought the lyric to somebody and said, write music to that, they probably tell me to get out, you know, because it's not very, doesn't look very inspiring. It's like all these things, when you put the two pieces together, lyric and music, it adds up to something in a strange way.
Now, you said in your book that someone in your management said, well, I don't know whether you're singing to a boy or a girl, so you better put a girl's name in there somewhere.
That's right, yeah. Well, he was concerned about my, about what, you know, who I was singing to and what my audience was. And I'm thankful in a sense that he suggested that I personalise it, because although I didn't use a name at the end, I thought girl would be appropriate. And but just thinking about that change probably gave me the, I know it's not pretentious, but maybe it is, a psychological, maybe my voice, the way I sang it sounded different. I sang the thing like I knew roughly where it was directed. And so although I didn't use Susan or Barbara or whatever, Barbara, You Really Got Me Going, I sang Girl, and I had an image of somebody there.
Mm-hmm. Now, you say in your book that you managed to keep the R&B feel even though making a pop record.
Mm.
And I think, yeah, that's really true. And also you write that you made a conscious effort to make your voice sound pure and to sing clearly, which I think is really interesting, considering that kind of really like fuzzy, aggressive guitar sound, and you're trying to sing, you know, purely and clearly. It's a really interesting contrast.
Yeah, I think it's like the old line, no coward line, you know, remember the lines and speak clearly. We had made You Really Got Me once before, and we'd gone in with the producers and everything, and I'd been on tour, and my voice was a bit croaky, a bit like it is now, and You Really Got Me going. It's like really down there. So I remember that when we came to do the vocal, and we only had 3 hours to do it, so there was I, like, with 10 minutes to go, and it had to be right. So I thought, I took my voice up a bit, and again, thought I was higher, singing in a higher register than I was. And so emotionally, I was up there in the mid-frequencies, even though my voice was quite gravelly.
Let's play another song, another one that you wrote. Let's do Tired of Waiting for You, another early hit. Anything you can say about writing it?
That's from the original bunch I wrote, instrumentals, 2 years before. There is an interesting story, because we just had this huge hit with You Really Got Me at number one, and we were doing our first album, and they said, we found a new writer, you know, it was me, and I was supposed to come up with all this material, but I didn't tell anybody, I didn't actually have anything, except a few chords, and we went in and did the backtrack to that one morning, and they said, well, put the words, we used to put the vocal down at the same time, and I said, well, I've got a sore throat this morning, can I just do the backtrack first, the instruments first, and then I'll do the vocal later? Because I hadn't written the lyrics, you know, and we did the backtrack, and afterwards I said, look, I really feel I'm coming down with something, flu or something. So I couldn't sing that day, and I went home and just, you know, went out that night and came in the next morning. I made the words up on the spot, really. And it is another one of those repetitive lyrics, but somehow it works, because even though I didn't think, again, I don't want to keep labouring the point, but I thought that I wasn't writing. I was taking in ideas, and although they weren't going down on notepads or, you know, written, they were inside my head. They just came out. It's your life and you can do what you want. And basically I was telling myself, you know, I'm on this journey now, I've had this hit record, and it really is up to me what I write. So it was an interesting combination of being a bit of a con artist, telling them I'd written something when I hadn't, and letting my emotions, my subconscious take over and do the work for me. It's very easy, really.
So, okay, let's hear Tired of Waiting for You, the Kinks from the mid-60s. My guest is Ray Davies. We're listening to a 1995 interview with Ray Davies of the Kinks. I asked him about some of his later songs for the Kinks, like Dedicated Follower of Fashion and Well-Respected Man, which took him in the direction of social observation and satire. Very few songwriters at that time were writing about characters. Songs were expected to be kind of autobiographical. Like Randy Newman has confused a lot of people by writing songs, often about very unlikable characters. So I figure the song that confused the people the most probably was Lola, which is about somebody who picks up someone who he thinks is a woman and turns out to be a man. So did Did that song confuse a lot of people? Maybe you could tell us the story behind writing it.
Lola was a song really about not so much confused identity, but more being protective of my own emotions. I draw on lots of different characters when I write a song. I don't really, and it's very rare I write about one thing. And the fact that Lola was a transvestite is incidental. It was really a love song, and all it says really is that I'm in love with somebody, or that the singer is in love with somebody who may not be everybody's taste or whatever, but he's made that commitment. That's all it's about, really. And the rest is just dressing, or cross-dressing.
I like that. Yeah. So was it based on someone who you knew, or an incident that happened?
Oh, no, it was based on an actual incident, that part of it, in Paris. We used to go to this wonderful club called the Castel. It was a bit seedy. It was in Paris. But at the time, everybody went there. The Stones used to go there, and a lot of actresses and a lot of models and people. We used to go down there and dance all night and come out the next morning and go to work and not worry about a thing, and or not notice anything. And one night my manager was there and he was dancing away, and Robert was a lovely guy. He was a stockbroker, really should have stayed a stockbroker. And he was 6'6", tall and very thin, typical English, you know, Terry Thomas, a gent. He said, "Oh, Ray, I think I've got on to something here, old boy." I said, "What? See that beautiful girl over there? I'm going to take her out. I think I'd go home with her." And then it was okay until he got into the daylight and realised this girl had lots of stubble on her face. You know, as a guy. But she was really, really attractive to look at until you get in the daylight. So that I used that story, that had occurred some years before I wrote Lola. So I used that and adapted that and put that in as kind of a subplot in the song. But it ended up being the main focal point of the song, really. But as I said, the song is really about a love song. It's a love thing. Maybe a love that people shouldn't know about.
Well, let's hear Lola.
I met her in the club down in Old Soho, where you drink champagne and it tastes just like cherry cola. C-O-L-A cola. She walked up to me and she asked me to dance. I asked her her name and in a dark brown voice she said Lola. L-O-L-A Lola. Lola.
Our interview with Ray Davies was recorded in 1995. This is Fresh Air.